The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, for the next 2.5 hours here on ESPN 97.5. And Raheel will join us at 9 o'clock, as always. We got it. It's set. It's Rockets-Wolves. But I'm not... Are you guys thrilled with the way that it all worked out with Oklahoma City being the 4 seed? I think that was the worst development that happened last night, if you want to know the truth.
You knew there was a decent chance they were going to be a second round. I mean, I was hoping
they'd be the 6, though, as opposed to the 4.
Yeah, 4 or 5, I guess. But yeah, well, I was hoping they would be the 7.
The 7.
And play Golden State.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
That would have been optimal. It was so fluid over the last week of the season, really over the last month.
Well, look at how it's all bunched, yeah.
Yeah. And so Utah lost home court advantage. You had Oklahoma City gained home court advantage during that time. A lot of stuff went down over the last 2 days in terms of seeding, but no, I mean, we're talking about a bunch of teams that have been really somewhat disappointing this season. There's been 5 teams that play, and one of them I think is not even considered a factor in the playoffs now, and that's the Celtics. There's only been 5 teams that have had really. The Rockets were one of the teams that well overplayed their expected win total this year. But other than Rockets, Raptors, I don't even count the Celtics now because I don't consider them a factor in the playoffs. The Sixers are now up to 16 games and one of only, 5 teams who won 50 or more games this year? Maybe it's 6. I think there's 6 teams. Oklahoma City has been a huge disappointment. They've got Russell Westbrook, who averaged triple-double again, second year. And now there was an article yesterday, why Russell Westbrook deserves a second MVP. I'm like, no, just we got to stop this.
And down the stretch, when they had to have wins, when they needed for positioning, they just won 5 of their last. They did win 3 in a row, but they only won 5 of their last 10. Yeah, that team is a disappointment, but it's about as scary as any team other than Golden State. If you were to rank the power rankings as far as scariest teams in the West, it'd go Rockets, Warriors, and I think the Thunder would be 3rd.
Yeah, and then maybe it cuts off.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone else is scary.
No.
Blazers, Wolves. No, I don't. No one else is scary to me. Yep. Jazz.
You know, as good as the Blazers were and everybody, watch the Blazers. Yeah, well, they finished with 49 wins. 1 ahead of Oklahoma City. 1 ahead of Utah.
Yeah.
1 ahead of New Orleans.
Well, the Blazers probably are considered overachievers, even though with the 49 wins. OKC projected win total was 51.
They're underachievers
coming into
bit.
The year. Yeah. Yeah. So they... 3 games off their projected win.
What did Carmelo end up doing? You know, I was anti-Carmelo because this is the kind of guy he is. No impact on anything. And I'm so glad they didn't get Carmelo Anthony just because I think he would have changed the dynamic. He would have been an extra guy who needs the ball in his hands. He's 33 years old. I'm just glad they don't have him. Russ is still the guy. Carmelo doesn't scare me one bit. I mean, he's one of those guys that could have a good game and could help them win a game. But he averaged 16.2 a game. He shot, 40 from the field. His lowest field goal percentage of his entire career was this year. He shot 40.
35% from 3.
Yeah.
He shot, but he did average 16 and 6, almost 6. So.
Well, 16 is the lowest of his career also.
Yeah.
That's the first year he didn't average 20 points a game this year.
He's old and he's playing with
us.
2 better players.
Yeah, that's it. He hasn't been in this situation where he's had to defer, no?
No, he doesn't. And that's why you never know how those guys are going to play, especially when they have to play with 2 guys. But the thing is, Paul George, I don't know if he's an alpha mentality guy, but Russell's enough alpha for everybody. He's got like 3 alphas raging through him. Chris and James are for sure. Like, that's enough. You don't need, and James is really that same Russell Westbrook level too, where he wants all the late shots. But P.J. Tucker kind of keeps him in line. They say that P.J. Tucker's the guy more than Chris Paul. P.J. Tucker's the guy who can go at James in practice, and they say he will go at James in practice and say, this isn't, and he'll go after Nene about not switching because he knows who screwed up in the last game because he's always watching tape and said, right here, here, here. You guys didn't do this. You and you and you. And people just go,
good.
Yes, sir, Mr. Tucker. Like, P.J. Tucker is no joke.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
And find those kind of guys. Yeah, and that's exactly really what they needed. Yep. They didn't need another shooter. They needed another wolf in the locker room to say, hey, James.
Mm-mm. Or a wolf.
Yeah. Yeah, or a wolf.
A wolf. Yeah. So it's set. Minnesota, the Rockets have beaten them 4. The stat on ESPN this morning is that when Jimmy Butler is on James Harden, he only shoots 33% from 3, which is about 10-11 points below what he normally will shoot. But James has had big games, even with Jimmy Butler on the floor. I don't know, you know, what Thibodeau going to put Jimmy Butler on James the whole time? I don't know.
Their problem is, if Jimmy has to guard him the whole time, it's going to affect him offensively, yeah. And they got to have Jimmy Butler have a big series offensively. The whole question is, can Minnesota score enough to stay with the Houston team? And Houston doesn't always hit the gas offensively like they used to, but it's one of the reasons they win more now is because they're not so dependent upon, you know, just scoring. They're a much better defensive team. This year, points per game, Minnesota ended up averaging 109. Well, you think it's pretty good, but it's, you know, well, no, it's not bad. 109's not bad in the West. It's sixth best. That's okay. But defensively, they are just kind of average, giving up 107 a game.
That's surprising out of a Thibodeau team.
Yeah.
They don't have all the pieces, but they got some nice pieces. I mean, Jimmy Butler, obviously, Carl Anthony, Andrew Wiggins, and Taj Gibson, and Jeff Teague.
Probably better on paper than they ended up. But don't forget, they're 2 games away from the 3 seed. So yeah. that's how far off everybody else was.
Well, and when Jimmy Butler went down, they were the 3 seed. They were thought to be, you know, quite frankly, the third best team. And then Jimmy Butler comes back, and they just barely get in overtime to get into the playoffs. This is a more talented team than being the 8 seed, quite frankly.
Yeah, you could maybe say that about all these teams in the West. You look at them, and like Spurs are the 7. That's a more talented. Well, actually, the Spurs aren't they? They might not be a more talented team. Not without Kawhi. They might not be. And it wouldn't have made me sad if they didn't make the playoffs. That's a shame that they're in. And that's pure respect. New Orleans, probably more talented. How about I know Boogie's not there, but this Boogie Cousins is going to change basketball forever when he goes with Anthony Davis. What a nothing that's been. What Anthony Davis, still the great player, and Boogie's still just a guy who gets technicals and then gets hurt. Utah is just a nice little team, but they're not going to do anything. So we'll get more into that. Stros have lost 2 in a row. First time this year they lose back-to-back games. And this one was the offense got going again, which was good. Alex Bregman is breaking out of his spring, his April slump, which has been his MO is to start off slow. He's starting to break out of it the last couple. Springer is still still going slowly. He almost grounded into a double play to end the game. Instead, the ball was thrown away, and a 2-run score to tie it up at 8. But the Astros beaten, Brad Peacock beaten by a walk-off home run, and so they've lost 2 in a row now. This is really one of the first times that the pitching has really faltered across the board. You know, really, really hurt you, the pitching did, and that was... So, I mean, that's going to happen, but you didn't want it to be Brad Peacock because that's the guy that we're really counting on to be the guy. And so... The question now, John, is he's pitched in almost half the games. You're 13 games in. He has 6 appearances. I mean, that's a lot for early in the season. I guess if you're going to be able to handle it, it's early in the season. But I guess he doesn't consider Brad Peacock a closer, because if he was your closer, you wouldn't be pitching him so often and in so many multiple inning scenarios, I wouldn't think.
Well, you look at it. If he throws again in the next few games, that'll be basically he'll be on a pace for 70 outings, which is about what, you know, 62 last year was what I believe Davinsky had in the 60s last year. And I asked him before the season.
But he's not on a closer pace right now. He's in a pitching a lot more.
Yeah,
pace.
No, and I don't understand the extra, you know, but you got an inning out of him. He has his guys where he is set and on guys that he trusts. And Brad Peacock is obviously one of them, but dude, you're wearing thin. You got to be wearing a dude thin. It was obviously he started the year in the bullpen last year, did a really nice job as a starter, But I'm not sure. Brad Peacock was and Colin McHugh were both like, I got to get used to this thing, you know, coming out of the bullpen. And you know, Colin McHugh had told the broadcasters, they talked about it yesterday or the day before on the broadcast. They said, I don't know how to act, if you want to know the truth. I know what to do when I'm a starter. Mm-hmm. I know my routine. I don't have a routine as a reliever.
Yeah.
And I think Brad Peacock is probably, although he has relieved before, he's probably feeling it out again.
You never know. You never know if a guy's able to be a closer because, for example, Will Harris was off to a great start was a couple of years ago, and they tried to go to Will Harris off of Gregerson, and he couldn't do it. Will Harris went from being good pitcher to struggling. Octavio Dotel was going to be the closer, and I thought he was going to be a great closer. I went Wagner, Dotel, Lidge. Dotel got his shot when Wagner was gone, and he couldn't do it. Some guys just can't handle the pressure. You don't know if starters can make the switch. So there's a lot to get into. We will continue to do that here in a second. But a great night's sleep. And I got a mattress from these guys. As a matter of fact, it's one, John, that is specifically made for. They don't goof around, Texas matchmakers. They want you in there.
No, absolutely. By the way, during the break, I'm going to be on Channel 26 with Melissa. And who else is on there, Jace? Who else is...
Jose and Melissa, baby.
Oh yeah, Jose and Melissa. So tune into Channel 26 if you're by a TV. Not that you need to see that, but anyway, what we need to do is talk about Texas Mattress Makers and the you know it's March and April now, and into April it's madness, right? It's listen, this is the time to get your kids that mattress. I was talking to David Gow. He goes, I gotta go see Yuval because I really haven't had a mattress. I don't know in about 8 years. I'm like, dude, really? You got to go and see Yuval. And he loved the, half price? Yeah, it's about half price. Whatever. And, you know, David Gow was going to buy a wonderful mattress because he's David Gow. But you can get it as simple as you want or as complex as you want. You've got mattresses from Texas Mattress. All my mattresses are from Texas Mattress Makers. Listen, Texas Mattress Makers and Yuval are doing an unbelievable job. And again, it's about half the price. That's just ridiculous. You've got two locations. Now, all you people in Katy say, I'm not going to drive all the way to Navy. And, well, guess what? 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy, exit 742 off I-10 West, right off the access road. 4619 Navigation as well, corner of Lockwood. You're going to love Texas Mattress Makers because they're just the best. TexasMattressMakers.com. Go see Yuval and tell them you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm going to make an announcement, but I want you guys to take a breath and listen. At 8:15, remember, 8:15, we're going to give away a copy of MLB The Show for the PS4. It's out right now. Your team, your rivals, your buddies, your hometown experience, the best of baseball in MLB The Show 18 with more home runs, steals, and epic catches, huge roster of past legends and current superstars, plus transfer your The Show 2017 to MLB The Show 18 and continue your road to the show and your franchise. For those that crave the best of baseball, MLB The Show, rated E for everyone. 8:15, call in, and if you have a PS4, you got a shot to win. You got a shot to win. MLB The Show. It'll be caller 30 at 8:15. Caller 30 at 8:15. Now back to John and Lance.
All right. There you go.
I don't have a PS4, but I would love to get The Show. But there's not a baseball game, right? What's the baseball game for Xbox?
I don't know.
It's bullcorn. I don't think there's
a specific game for Xbox.
How do you not have a baseball game for Xbox?
No, I think The Show is on.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think The Show is on Xbox One. We're just giving it away for the PS4.
Are you an e-athlete now?
No, but I like to play.
An e-athlete? What do they call?
You know what? I want my kids to play baseball. If they're going to play any video games, my kids don't play a ton. But one of the reasons they know so many basketball players around the league and historical players is because of that. I knew all the hockey players in the league back when I played NHL on Sega. I know if you
how all the kids know all the soccer players.
That's why soccer. It's a huge advantage to have video games, because once you do, kids know all the players. And I want my kids to know all the baseball players. It's hard enough keeping up with all these guys. Like, I didn't even know some of the guys who were fighting in the Red Sox Yankees fight.
Yeah, I don't.
Yesterday, I'm like, God, I don't even know these some of these fighters.
Yeah, I don't see.
You don't know.
Also known as players.
It doesn't. Right. It doesn't look like there is a MLB The Show for Xbox. I don't think. I guess RBI Baseball.
RBI baseball.
Is it the same two teams?
That is,
and when
so
you get hit
weak
on the head, it goes. Bark.
No, they brought it back recently.
No, that's
RBI
not,
baseball 18. It's that's not the same caliber.
So we had more. This is crazy. We had more video games when I was 25 than we do now. We had college football gone, baseball for Xbox gone. Of course, I was a PlayStation guy back then, or a Sega, but. That's just crazy.
It's disgusting.
We have stadiums to hold 20,000 people to watch these e-fleets.
Yeah. Are they e-fleets or e-athletes?
Well, they now can. I think they want to be called e-fleets, just like math are called mathletes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's interesting now that they are giving college scholarships away for e-gaming. I was like, wow. They're giving college scholarships away.
That is awesome.
Let's see if Gilbert ever got a scholarship to anything. Gilbert, have you ever played? What is your favorite video game of all time? Of all time, either a system or a stand-up video game.
I'm going to say Pong.
I'm going to say Pac-Man.
Pac-Man.
Yep. That's Pac-Man's a huge favorite.
you Pac-Man. You used to play Pac-Man?
No, Pac-Man.
Yeah, Pac-Man.
Yeah, you used to play it. Did you had the game?
Long time ago, but I tore it up anyway. I had it back in the '70s. Well, mm-hmm. Why'd you
tear it up?
Come out to the 80s,
it was Pac-Man. It was on the Atari company long time ago.
Atari wasn't out until like in the early '80s. Pac-Man didn't make it out until like 81, I think.
Ooh, I don't know. I think Atari was before the 80s.
No, Pac-Man
didn't.
Pac-Man was out in 77? Atari. Yeah, Atari's out in 77, but I don't think Pac-Man came out until 81, G-Money.
I was doing a Atari game, buzzing down a wall anyway, a brick thing anyway.
Oh, yeah, the brick game. God, what was that game called where you break down the wall?
Super Mario?
No, not Super Mario. It's Brick Breaker, I think it was called.
What is it called, Chase? Breakout. Did you play
Breakout? Breakout was awesome. These games were, I say they're awesome. If you've ever played those games and you've had nostalgia and you want to go back and play now, you can, go to Best Buy or whatever, get these plug-in games, and it's exactly like the real games, and then you realize this doesn't hold up.
Pac-Man came out in October 1980.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
The day that the Astros won the division playoff, anyway.
Okay, that sounds about right, actually.
That is about right.
That sounds...
That is right. There.
That sounds...
Hey, Lance, I got a quiz for you, anyway.
Is it a draft question, yes or no?
The first Astros playoff game. Who sung the national anthem?
What's the question?
Who sang the national anthem at the Astros' first playoff game?
I gotta assume it's Clay Walker.
No, not Clay Walker. Dave Ward.
A three-year-old Clay Walker?
Sheriff Fryer.
No, Los Angeles. It was at Dodger Stadium, anyway.
The first one. Oh.
The first
Roseanne Barr.
For the Astros division.
Roseanne Barr.
Perfect.
I'm looking at it right here.
I will.
Roseanne Barr.
No.
Yes.
Captain Tennille.
Who? Captain Tennille.
Captain Tennille. Well, of course it was.
Gilbert.
So yeah, I got the first playoff game was against the Dodgers.
Watch
the
it.
Tie game.
What channel were the Astros road games on in 1979, Gilbert?
26.
All right.
Channel 26.
I'm assuming
that
he's
is
correct.
Correct. We don't know.
Who were the Rockets broadcasters in 1984 with Ralph Sampson and Akeem Olajuwon? The 80s are a little bit up and down with Gilbert, though.
Bill Worrell.
That's right. Who else? His name starts with...
Calvin Murphy.
No, incorrect. McCoy. McLemore.
I don't remember him. him. But
Gilbert,
anyway.
You're not. Yeah, see, you Gilbert. Struggle with some 80s
trivia. Anyway, well, this is the first Astros televised game in 1965. First Astros road game on TV. What channel was it on?
Channel 26.
Yeah. No, it wasn't 26. It wasn't 26.
Channel 39.
Channel 52.
No, 39 because they come to 67 anyway.
Was it the Cube?
13.
Was it the Cube?
13.
Okay.
No, it 13. Wasn't. No, I'm looking at it right here. It was Channel 2.
Todd Freed had it on the Cube.
Sure, it wasn't 13, CW. 13.
It was 13.
No, I'll never forget anyway. It was Channel 2.
Gilbert does not watch the CW.
No.
Yeah.
No, it was Channel 13. It was okay. 13.
No, all right. No. All right. Does he just call in a flex on us? Is that what he does?
That's all it is. It's a trivia flex. I started it, to be fair. I should have started him.
Yes, on you did. You started
Gilbert,
all
who
this.
Who won the Masters in 1978? I have to stay away.
I don't know golf anyway.
You don't know golf? All right. Who won the World Series in 1978?
He'll flex on that. Watch.
The A's.
Nope. Reggie Jackson, with the Yankees.
How do you...
77-78 with the New York Yankees.
How did the Astros finish in 1978?
What was their record, Gilbert?
Oh, now we're not so a big... Oh, we're not such a big man anymore, are we?
All right, Gilbert, did you hear what he just said? How about you tell him who the number one single was in 1978 on the music charts?
Yeah. 1978, it was...
Trash. Gilbert's trash.
Saturday Night Live,
the
Bee Gees.
Ooh, I think
1978, number one song.
Well, it's the number one. I think it was the number one album. Gilbert's kind of.
Oh, yeah, number one album? Night Fever.
Yeah. Yep, that's Saturday Night Fever. Yeah, Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
Number one single.
Saturday Night Fever, yeah.
Well, yeah. Who was
handling it? Let me ask you a question. He was the original singer in the Spring Moon River. The original song.
Moon River. Yeah. Chevy Chase.
Clay Walker.
Chevy Chase was the original. Yeah.
Ramon Ayala.
No.
Yep.
No, he wasn't. Look at the computer. It was Johnny Rivers.
All right. Gilbert, I got a question for you. When did Evel Knievel try to jump over Snake River, Snake Valley, or whatever it's called.
Canyon?
Yep. That's Snake.
1974,
anyway. I'll never forget that, anyway.
Is that right?
No idea.
Yeah, well, I'm making women there, anyway. Well, I'll see a Playboy.
Wait a minute. It's locked then. If there were naked women there, and it happened in 1974.
Shh, I want to hear more about what Gilbert's got going on here.
Gilbert.
What are you talking about, Playboy and Evel Knievel for?
Yeah, well, Playboy magazine, you know, 1974.
What? Yeah, but what does that have to do with Evel Knievel and naked women?
They were taking a picture of naked women watching Evel Knievel jump anyway.
That's something that Gilbert saw or read about and it stayed there forever.
It never left.
I think he said...
1974, Snake River, Evel Knievel, naked women. Yeah, it's a lock.
Is that a real thing?
I think what he's saying is Playboy took pictures of that event and naked women were there.
Is that a real thing, John, in Google?
Yes.
Happened? Sure. You know what? Truth be told, I'd probably remember that if I were a kid, too. I probably would have remembered that time in history.
See, you guys are asking the wrong question.
Go ahead.
You should be asking, Gilbert, who's your favorite naked woman of all time?
Oh, I don't like this question at all.
Who is it, Gilbert?
You've seen a lot.
Michelle Gray.
Michelle
Playboy. Michelle Gray.
Drake.
Michelle Drake.
Never heard of her. Michelle Drake, Playboy.
That was your incognito window.
That was the creepiest sounding contemplation of.
I know.
Like a growl.
Playmate of the month, 1979. Michelle Drake.
What month was that, Gilbert?
February.
Check it, John, because I'm guessing that's a lock.
Why would I have to check it?
All right, just out of curiosity, who was June 79? Do you know who June of 79 was? The Playboy Playmate? By the way, kids, make sure at school today you don't get in trouble and don't talk about any of this. Snitches get stitches, kids, okay?
Yeah.
No.
Don't tell mom or dad that we're... Hey, if you're riding with dad to school, don't tell mom what your dad's listening to.
Yeah, June 79 wasn't his favorite.
No, May 79.
Oh, okay.
She was May 79, Gilbert.
Ooh. But Michelle, what does she look like, John?
What does she look like? She was playmate of the
No, but let's give a breakdown. Brown hair, blonde.
I can't find her. I'm just looking through.
Gilbert, why are you asking? Ask the source.
Gilbert, yeah. What does she look like?
I met her before at some kind of event anyway.
You did?
Did she tell you to leave her alone?
Oh, there she is.
Yeah.
There's Michelle Drake. She's roller skating. Gilbert loved that. That was a big time for roller skating.
That's first roller girl, probably.
Miss May, not February, Gilbert. You messed that whole thing up. Yeah, now she's mad at you. Now she'll never get naked for you again.
And then, well, let's hope not now.
Well,
it's time to keep it on.
1979? Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. No, I don't want to become a playboy. No, God, I shouldn't have gone to
this. Is she still alive?
That's
almost 40 years later. Is she still alive, Gilbert?
Who?
Michelle Drake.
Michelle Drake.
I think she passed away, guys.
She did.
I don't know.
Damn it. All right, 7:31. That was the Gilbert segment right here on ESPN 97.5.
It's been a while, so everyone, we get a call every day, now, just so you know.
Yeah.
We don't go to it every
day. Well, 5 or 8 calls a day, if you want to know the truth. If you are now searching through Playboy for Michelle Drake, maybe you could use a little testosterone.
Well, to do something about it, maybe so. Men's Tea Clinic, 4 locations here in the Houston area. Let me tell you something. And Curtis, we see you. We're going to talk Lance McCullers here in a second. But sometimes we got to get Lance McCullers back to being the Lance McCullers. We got to get you back to being the real you. And if you are suffering from low testosterone, there's a pretty good chance you're not going to be able to do that. Now, it's not your fault. 1 in 3 men suffer from low testosterone once they hit the age of 40. Some will suffer symptoms before that age, and then many will suffer over that age. And it's not what you think in many cases. It could be as simple as you work out the same way you always have, but you're not seeing the same results. You're starting to see a backslide, and you say, well, when you get older, you don't get the same results. See, here's the thing. One of the reasons why you might not get the same results is the lower testosterone, which happens naturally. What if your testosterone level was back up? Uh-oh. Same results. And you'll say, wow. And that's why sometimes you see some guys who are a little yoked up. It's because they got the same level of testosterone they had when they were in their 20s or 30s. That could be you. See if your testosterone level is low. I had an issue that was causing me fatigue problems. I mean, severe fatigue problems. And I thought it was a lack of sleep. Once I got my levels back up, my energy level was higher. My mental acuity was much, much better. And I ended up losing 24 pounds as well in about 3 months, because my workouts, you get so much more from those workouts. And you know what? If you're having any issues with libido, it can help you with that too. It could be any number of things that could land you in the low testosterone category. It doesn't have to be 1. It doesn't have to be 4. Just make sure that you go get tested at one of the 4 locations. Location at Fairmont and Tollway. The tollway right there in the Pasadena area. You've got 288 in Discovery Bay for Pearland. You've got 290 in Barker Cypress in the Cypress area, in my location where I go today, as a matter of fact, at 1801 Durham and I-10. Make sure you stop over there. Tell them Lance Zierlein sent you in and see where your testosterone level is at menstclinic.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, and Dell. Okay, we know that she was in the... Michelle Drake was in the 70s, therefore she has... Okay.
I don't even want to hear the phrase bath mat.
Okay. Beep. Okay. What the hell? Somebody sent me. Do you see this? There's a woman in a shopping basket.
I don't know that I want to look at anything that's.
Oh, look. Computer. Someone's returning a broken sandwich maker to Walmart. See, that's not funny.
Nope.
She's not a. I don't know that she makes sandwiches. Well, you never know.
Terrible.
So the image is of a woman
this
in
a
shopping,
woman
in a shopping
laying
cart.
In a shopping cart.
Stupid.
And someone's returning a broken sandwich maker. Oh, that's not funny.
Terrible. Why are we laughing then?
You did it. I'm just laughing at you laughing. Because, I would never laugh at something that was insensitive.
Because these people have tapped into who you are, and they will send you these pictures.
They've tapped in. They figured it out. They've broken the code.
Yeah.
You know who else doesn't
I'm
work?
I'm the sandwich maker in my house.
You know who didn't work yesterday? Lance McCullers.
Lance McCullers did work yesterday, only not for a long time. He actually worked shorter than we did yesterday.
Let's get Curtis in to talk about Lance McCullers.
Well, yeah, Curtis was up. Yeah, okay.
Six walks, six strikeouts. You know, he got to his 95 pitch count in a relatively short amount of time.
Gave 3 2/3?
8 earned runs.
Yeah.
It was not great.
Not great. Had to go to, way to put it. What,
4 or 5 guys in the bullpen. What's going on, Curtis? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Seems like I'm always following Gilbert, which I guess that's a nice follow.
Yeah.
I went back and I reported the game because I was obviously at work. And I went back and watched it because I wanted to watch Lance and kind of, you know, what's going on with him. And Lance is an interesting guy. He's kind of I used to pitch in college, I kind of have somewhat of an understanding. But, you know, Lance is he's just this weird, quirky guy that's just, he's almost like a thrower, not necessarily a pitcher. And he's just always had this crazy ability. But I don't think Lance knows where his pitches are going. I saw him yesterday. He was actually pitching great until 4 innings. And then the 4th inning came, and he walks. I mean, he throws 8 straight balls. And again, I'm not one of these guys that is thinking about the Astros. I think we got a lot of pieces to fix some of the problems already. But it's kind of concerning to me that on a 3-0 count, you know, when normally every, you know, normal major league pitcher, you can pipe a fastball right down the middle, and Lance almost
he's a hook.
Catcher, you know? And so I'm just wondering, does he never throw a 4-seam? Is he always throwing a 2-seam? And to be honest, I'd actually like to see Lance as a closer. I think he's more of just this meathead, Ricky Vaughn type mentality where you're just going in there and ripping an inning as opposed to being a starting pitcher that's more polished and he wasn't even wearing sleeves yesterday, and it's freezing cold, and, I mean, he had no control over his fastballs. So
sit tight.
I don't know what y'all thoughts would be about moving into the bullpen.
Don't hang up, because I want to let us go back and forth with you a little bit since you were a pitcher.
Sure.
One thing is, I think you nailed it. He's always been a thrower, but, I mean, throwers, that doesn't – it's not a slam. It's just like he's not going to be a pitcher who picks and is able to pick at the plate and really play the mind games. He's a swing and miss type. He's got swing and miss stuff. We know that, but his pitch counts are always high. He doesn't really pitch to contact. He doesn't really trust his fastball. He does throw a 2-seamer. I don't think he throws a 4-seamer. I think I asked him that one time. And he doesn't locate his fastball and throw it consistently. So he doesn't have a lot of confidence in it. And we saw that in the World Series game. But Lance McCullers is a guy who trusts his curveball, has a nasty curveball, and will throw it on any count. But his game, I just think, would go to the net. He can hop the fastball up at 95, 96. He just doesn't trust it, and he can't really locate it. And I think until he figures out how to locate his fastball and where he can have multiple approaches as a pitcher, where one game he's going to light you up with a fastball, and the next day he's going to be heavy with curve, or he's going to be just out pitch with curve. I don't think he can really change his approach, and I think that is a problem for him, because when he's not right in terms of his location, he's going to get himself in trouble. And that happened last night. He had six walks yesterday. That happened with Lance yesterday. So I think some of it is that he's become so reliant on that amazing curveball that he has that he just doesn't – he's not a guy that works off of the fastball really in any given game anymore.
No.
Not at all. He used to work some, but he's always been that hard-breaking ball guy.
Yeah, and it's amazing that he's actually been so successful as a starting pitcher with basically just 2 pitches. I mean, usually you see that from a closer, but honestly – Lance is a special pitcher where I honestly think his stuff is so nasty and his arm is just so wicked that he literally can't control his fastball sometimes because of the movement on there. And it's kind of a good problem to have when you have that much movement on a fastball. But, yeah, I'd like to see him go back to a 4-seam where he could pump it up. I've seen him hit 97, 98, no problem.
He's got
with
gas.
Way more control, start busting people inside. So he can play off that that power curve that he has. But, again, I just see his mentality, like, you know, when Stassi was going up there and Strom and they're having their, you know, their a couple meetings. And, honestly, like, He gave up two little seeing eye singles after those back to back walks. I mean, they weren't like these massive hits. And then obviously he gives up a home run, so kind of, you know, the walks kind of ate him up. But just the way he talks with Stassi, and they weren't on the same page, and it's just like he's just such a head case. You know what I mean? But again, it's a great problem to have because he just has so much God-given ability.
Yeah, but all that God, thanks for the call, Curtis. All that God-given ability, John, is great. But as a pitcher, you can't have things. You remember who this? get the grape meme. Remember that time that the Astros used to have Tim Redding, who could have three great innings and then literally lose his mind in one inning and he was done. Like, he had no ability to overcome adversity. Lance has overcome adversity stuff where he can pitch himself out of an inning, but I do think that he runs hot and cold emotionally. On, like, I think he can be impacted either positively or negatively. When he gets in a groove, he can really roll downhill on you, like he did against the Yankees in that Game 7 against the Yankees. But when things get a little tough, I think his emotions sometimes gets the best of him. And that's why we're now, what, this is year number 4 for Lance McCullers? It's a little bit of a concern that this is still, he's still trying to locate fastball. He's still trying to pitch to some contact. I don't know if he's trying to. And maybe the Astros don't want him to, but boy, you'd love for him to be a guy who can get into the seventh. But, you know, just like I do, that's not going to happen a whole lot with Lance McCullers.
No, it appears that, you know, what I think a lot of people think of him is coming true, is that by the second and third time through the batting order, that they're catching up to him. And that is, I think, again, a result of not having that dominant one. If you can dominate with your fastball through the first three innings or through the first time through the order, then you got him off balance on the second time coming through. Mm-hmm. But I think Lance is, you know, he's got to rely on that curveball as an out pitch, and he's got to get, you know, I think that's his most dominant pitch.
Here are the numbers in his career, John. Fastball percentage, 53.8 in 2015, 43% in 2016. 40% in 2017. This year, 38.6. Yeah. It's only gone down.
Yeah, well, I don't think he trusts it. That it's dominant enough to get past, and he's working off backwards off the curveball. And I think that really creates. So look at his. I mean, his outings last year, September 30th, down 5 earned, 2 earned, 3 earned, 5, 6, 4, 5, 3. I mean, after the All-Star break, dude was just getting lit up, and it's continuing. He and Keuchel both. He and Keuchel have turned into, holy crap, this is the second, the number two and number three starters are your least reliable right now.
You know,
and it's not just this sample size. It's dated back to last All-Star break.
We're early. From a sample size standpoint, but his fastball right now is the lowest it's been at 94.1 miles an hour on average. His rookie season, when he threw it more, was 95.2. His curveball percentage, his rookie season, his fastball curveball differential was more than 10. This year, it's a little less than 7. So, you know, that can be an issue too when your breaking pitch is, I mean, wow, 87.8. That can't be right, is it? But I guess so.
Kurt Schilling talked about it. When you're throwing more fastballs, your arm gets stronger and your fastball gets better. And Lance is throwing fewer fastballs, so his arm is weaker. And that's just the way it works.
As far as him being a closer, he didn't like that idea when we talked about it.
No, not in the least.
But the one thing I would say about that is that if he doesn't learn to go deeper into a game, it may be something they have to look at his future. But he needs to throw fastballs for strikes.
He might be that guy. He might be the McHugh guy, if you want to know the truth.
That's not what he wants for career trajectory.
No, but look at the numbers dating back. He's not the same guy that was. Well, something has happened. He is not the same guy that was the first half of last year. Not the same guy.
He nor Keuchel. Let's get to Manning when we come back. Right now, I'll tell you about Bill Advisor. Bill Advisor has, I tell you about him all the time, $2,000, $3,000 guy who I told, I was at last year, I was at NFL Network taping some stuff in April, and I saw Dan Helly, great guy, nice guy. When I was telling him about Bill Advisor, I was talking to my friend Mark, who's also from Texas, Mark Istook, and I was telling him about Bill Advisor, saying, hey, you can use this service. Dan heard us talking. He said, can I use it here in California? I said, actually, you can use it anywhere. You can tell your friends and relatives. Now, there are going to be some energy companies they might not be able to touch. There might be a cable system where it's non-negotiable wherever you live in your neighborhood, whatever the case may be. But for the most part, Bill Advisor can negotiate and renegotiate energy bills, cable, satellite, cell phone. Cell phone's an easy one for them. Home phone, internet. They do so much great stuff with internet. If you have a bundled package and you think you're saving, I thought the same thing. And then they cut my bundle package by $60 a month. And this was just a year ago. Make sure that you're getting the best rates possible with Bill Advisor. They get to customer retention, and they put the hammer on them. They leverage them, and they get you better deals. And they look out for you every single month. You pay just $12.99 a month, and the savings on average are between $800 and $900. But to save $1,000 to $2,000 in a single year is not that crazy. And guess what? When it's time for homeowners insurance or car insurance, they can save you there as well. There were three people who saved over $2,000 for the year on homeowners insurance. What were they paying? What are you paying? To find out, text GO to 232323. That's three Jordans. Text GO 232323 and get started on your big savings with Bill Advisor.
ESPN 97.5.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.752 ESPN 97.5. 713. Lance is selling me on Bill Advisors. I'm going to do it next week.
You'll need to do it.
Do you know how much money I'm going to save?
You're going to save a ton because you've been with the same insurance company forever.
20-some years.
And they're just like, we're family. They probably send you cards. This is what insurance companies love to do. And if you're an insurance agent, don't act like I'm not telling the truth. They send you cards at Christmas like, hey, just want to tell you, thanks for being here. We're family, and we feel like you're family, and we feel like we're your family. And thanks. And never leave us. And everything's great. And we're going to be there for you. When things go sideways, we're going to definitely be there for you. Unless it's hurricane. And then we'll hook you up in about 8 months. And make sure you got on the line with the FEMA. Because they need to get you something. And we may or may not give you what you wanted. But good luck. But we're family.
But we are family.
And here's something that we signed by hand in the office. So don't leave and keep paying high numbers.
So I don't think we've ever had a claim on our insurance.
That seems impossible since you've told us stories about your daughter's driving.
Well, I pay cash for Frankie's. Otherwise, her rate would be like $10,000 a month to insure her.
Yeah, but you still
had three accidents before she was 16.
That just doesn't seem like she should still be driving. Wait, before she was 16?
Yeah, she was driving around before she was 16.
Well, how did that work out with the other drivers?
The other drivers were not happy. Well, but they said, hey, so I just had to fix their cars. That's what. Call my guy Jose, and he comes to their house, and he fixes it right on the spot. This dude is awesome. And
he's a traveling car fixer?
He fixes them right in the street or in their driveway.
You got a car guy. What? I'm assuming it's body damage. This isn't changing oil. Oh. How's he fixing body damage in their driveway? And how is that permissible by homeowners by the homeowners association?
Me and Frankie have put his kids through college. Okay, All right, so
is Frankie kicking in too?
No, Frankie. No, Frankie just has the accidents, and I pay for them. That's how we saw so this work.
Are you sure that Frankie's not getting a kickback from Jose? That's why she's running.
I mean, it feels like a game that's being run on you.
Could be. It does sound like it, doesn't it?
If you hear Frankie whipping up some quiet whispers to Jose, hey, what are y'all talking about over there? Nothing. I'm going to take the car again. I'm just going to run right to the store real quick. Crash.
Yeah.
Frankie, I just watched you run into that parked car.
Why are people sending us these hairy people who are touching? Stop it.
Terrible.
Stop Gilbert. Be like, no, terrible. Stop it.
Hey, here's our phone number. If you want to get in on Astros Talk, 713-780-3776. Losing two in a row didn't feel good yesterday. I was like, this feels gross.
And the game felt
only
like
the Poors lose two in a row.
You remember last Memorial Day when they were in Minnesota and they fell behind?
Yeah.
And then they came back and won 16-8, I believe, or whatever the score was after they were down 8. Not, it felt just like that, except it didn't turn out that way. But it was a great company. Hey, listen, positive is that the bats came alive. That Bregman's bat came alive.
Yep.
And now let's see what happens. His first ever home run in April. Totally sweet. Mm-hmm. So he's got that out of the way. But and the bullpen looked great until he used a guy that probably Peacock's arm has probably fallen off because through 2 weeks, he's already been out there 6 times. And he's thrown him multiple innings. Give the dude a break.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, he gave you one inning. Everybody else got one. Oh no! Let's keep Peacock in there and have his arm fall off.
You know what? Last year, Peacock was getting screwed out of wins because he wasn't getting enough.
Right
work. Now it's the opposite, and John has found a new way. Hey, you're giving him too much. I by the way, I agree with you. I just think it's funny that last year was
exactly how many times did Peacock get full at 4 2/3? I mean, honestly,
quite a bit.
If you go look at his 4 2/3, 4 2/3, 4 2/3.
You know what? I kind of like the fact that the Astros are that AJ Hinch. I mean, only because I know how it could benefit. I want him to actually start throwing more guys more, so they have a chance to really figure out what they got before All-Star break. Maybe I'm a little too overconfident, but I just feel like this is a fine tuning session that the Astros have what it takes. We know that. And now they're trying to fine-tune. And the best way to fine-tune is know who you can count on and know who you can't early on. Although you think you can count on guys before the break. And then they
And then in the second half, they fall apart. Hey, listen, so. I think he goes with the hot. I think you know who AJ has confidence in. I mean, it's not even it's very transparent who AJ thinks is throwing and who he can count on in tough situations. And I think he still can't count on Peacock. That was one game and blah, blah, blah. That's a long, all that stuff. But I honestly, he is on pace and, on pace guy. But this is what AJ does. If he feels like there's a guy in the bullpen that he can count on, you know he's going to him 66 times, I believe, last year or 62 times last year to Devenski. And by the end of the season, in the playoffs, he had to just say, okay, Devenski, you're done. Mm-hmm. Shut it down. As a former college pitcher, I think Lance has the mentality of a closer, not a starter. He wants to want to do that ugly thing to you.
Well, he wants to attack every single
inning. That's what you meant to say, Chase, because it's ugly the way you put that. McCullers seems to be really angry. He loses control. He might want to reconsider his hairstyle. I don't think his hairstyle has anything to do with that.
His hairstyle is lit. He's not going to ever change the side part. Well, he will change side part game because
he does.
His barber keeps him tight. Never talk about his hairstyle being bad, ever.
He can't be a closer because he can't control his fastball, says
Clayton. I thought this guy was dead.
He is dead. This must not. I don't know who the hell this is.
I swear, if Collie calls in, Dell would have loved.
Well, if Cowboy Bill can call in, then Collie can call in. All right. Is there? I don't know that this can't be a very intelligent call.
Hey,
it's Cowboy Bill.
Where'd Manny go?
Manny
he hung up.
Because you wouldn't talk to him about games.
No, I did want to talk. What was he? What do you want to talk about?
I didn't take the call. I asked.
It was video. I just saw video.
So
I couldn't see the rest of it. Manny, call back in. We'll get you right on.
Well, let's get Cowboy Bill in here. This is going to be stupid. What's up, Cowboy Bill?
Yeah, I have a quick question.
It's not that Cowboy Bill.
It's the wrong Cowboy Bill.
Well, it might be the right one because that Cowboy Bill was a problem.
Yeah. Do you know there's another Cowboy Bill who's the president of the Cowboy Fan Club?
Yeah, this is me, Cowboy Bill. And John, I've been following you since your show back in the late 90s, around 4 o'clock on that KTU channel with Donna Rush.
No, it was Channel 51, and it was, Donna Rush was on there.
This isn't
but you're Eric
Bill.
Wong, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Anyway, do y'all have any insight on the Dez Bryant and Jerry Jones meeting this Friday? Do you think he's going to release Dez this Friday, or what's going to go on?
Good question, Eric.
Why did he say Cowboy Bill?
Put him on hold because we're already past 8 o'clock. We'll do it on the other side. How about that?
Because he now calls in as other people to try to get on air.
To get on air because we won't take Eric?
Yeah.
So are you going to do John? Is John Clay Wolf calling your boy calling in right now?
Where's John Clay Wolf?
Because if not, I'll tell you, we can talk about indoor comfort specialist.
Let's talk about
indoor comfort specialist. So my house was freezing the other day because my dehumidifier was on. It sensed a little humidity, and I have my dehumidifier set down at 50%. Now, I changed it to 55% so it doesn't keep running on the low temperature. But when you have a dehumidifier, it is phenomenal because it truly keeps you cooler. The humidity being lower is what makes you comfortable. And dehumidifiers in your air conditioning system, what they can do is run at a very low, slow temperature so that it's a very low running process, so it doesn't eat up as much energy. It actually saves you money and keeps you cooler. These units now are unbelievably efficient with the indoor comfort specialist, and they want to install new ones for you right now, and they can save you big money in their installations.
The geothermal is second to none. The geothermal is unbelievable. So if you're building right now.
Geothermal? Yeah, that's big time.
That's huge. So if you're building right now, you have to consider, and these are the geothermal experts in the entire area. I don't know that anyone else does geothermal, if you want to know the truth. But Jerry and the guys over there are fantastic. It'll save you so much money. Now, if you want to just get a regular air conditioner, that's fine too. This is the time to buy because they're going to get all of the new stuff in this summer, and they want to get rid of all of the stuff that's in the warehouse. So give them a call. Get your 22-point check to just $49. To have somebody come to your home and look at all this stuff for just $49 is an unbelievable deal. 713-666-1101, 713-666-1101, or 975ac.com.